mean now? Such a funny guy. 10,000 comedians out of a job. If you have a Bible this evening, go to Isaiah 59. I know you've only memorized the first 58 chapters, but go to 59. We'll start there. Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59, let's look at verse number 2, since this is a prayer night, right? Isaiah 59, verse 2, the Bible says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear." We come to the Lord tonight to pray, didn't we? Well, I hope you were cleaned up when you got in here, because according to that verse right there, if you're not, He's not listening. We're going to preach tonight about some hindrances to prayer. The question is, and we've asked it before, is anybody up there? Is anybody listening? How many ever experienced this? I'm sorry, but the number you have dialed cannot be completed at this time. You remember that, do you? Sometimes that's what happens. We go to God in prayer. I'm sorry, but the number you have dialed can't be completed at this time. What's the problem? Our iniquities, our sins. We're going to look at some things here. We're going to start in James chapter 4. James chapter 4. What's preventing your prayers from getting up to heaven? The Bible says in one place, and I'm going to paraphrase here, but it says that your prayers just hit a brass ceiling. They go, but they just don't go all the way. They're hindered. James chapter 4, verse number 3. Here's the problem. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. That's what it says?
Right.
Well, maybe we ought to quit being selfish. Do you remember the last time you prayed for someone else instead of for you? Here's what I would recommend, and you can do whatever you want with this. But this church has a list of the people that go to this church, right? As a church list. You need to get a hold of that list and pick. Just pick two people on that list and pray for them for the whole month of April. And then when May comes, pick two other people and pray for them. And just do that all through the year. This church would grow. This church will grow not only physically, but it'll grow spiritually. Why? Because you're praying for each other.
Right.
How many of you would like someone to pray for you every day? Right? Well, are you willing to pray for someone else every day? I know a pastor in Kansas, and he has a little recipe box on his dining table. And anytime him and his wife sit down to a meal, they always take one of the cards out of the front. And they pray for who's ever on that card. And then they put the card in the back. So they praying for someone all the time. And you could do that, couldn't you? Well, here's a solution. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. You're not being selfish, are you, when it comes to being someone that prays? What would stop your prayers from going all the way to God? Maybe you preaching so you can consume it upon your lusts. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. 1 John 3, verse 22. The Bible says, "And whatsoever ye ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight." Well, you want your prayers to be answered? Right, there's a good solution, right? What else would prevent our prayers from making it all the way up there? 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 1969, I just happened to be in a little town called Coya, Chile, in South America. And I got a notice from the United States government saying that they requested me to join the military service. And the date on the letter that I got was I was supposed to report to the Oakland Army Induction Center in May. And I didn't get the letter until June. So basically, I was AWOL before I ever got drafted. So I went to the American Embassy and I said, look, I just got this letter. They said, don't worry about it. Just get on the next plane and go back to the United States. So I got on the next plane and went back. And between the time I was supposed to go and I was supposed to report for induction in July, my father was killed in a mining accident in South America in the end of June. And so I was given a stay of execution. I was given a stay to import for a report for induction until I believe it was sometime in September. Well, they had trouble getting the body out so my mom could bury my dad in Colorado. And so she went to the draft board and they let me go ahead and stay out until Thanksgiving. And then my mom, praise the Lord, went back down to the draft board and cried and argued and said she wanted her son home for Christmas. So they said, okay, well then you don't have to report until February 10th. Of 1970. So I was supposed to be drafted in the Army in May of 69. And I don't know if anybody you remember now, but there was a war going on in Vietnam. So anyway, so I get drafted and I go in and into the Army and I get through basic training, or I'm just about through with basic training, and the drill sergeant comes up and says, pay attention here now, because you just got orders for infantry. He said, I'm not supposed to tell you, but since I'm an infantry man myself and I just come back from Vietnam, I want you to know that you need to pay special attention here, because you're going to be infantry. So I went into advanced training, and when I was almost through with advanced training, the captain called me into his office and he said, I'm not supposed to tell you this. I thought, I don't even want to hear that again. He said, but you got orders for Vietnam. So I went to Vietnam. I'm in Vietnam. I'm what is known as an infantryman. So what the infantry people do is they walk around looking for trouble, basically, is what they do. And in them days, there was we took lots of helicopter rides. We'd go from our base camp, get on a helicopter, they'd take us out in the middle of the jungle somewhere, and they'd say, okay, here's where we want you to be in 3 days. So you're over here, and we want you to walk over to here, and if you find anything in between, you just shoot it. That's basically what it was. That was my job. So they'd drop us off in the jungle, we'd walk over to where they're supposed to pick us up, and they pick us up and they bring us back to the base camp. We stay there for a day, then they take us back out again to some other place. And I did that all the time I was there. Praise God, I didn't find trouble all the time, because it was there to be found. Well, that was just maybe the Lord. And I wasn't saved at the time. Now listen, I wasn't saved. Well, I can remember one time in particular, we were out on a real early in the morning. We'd already been out for one day, and this was our second day out, and we got up early in the morning and started walking through the jungle, and we come across this little stream in the jungle, and there was a big old footprint right at the edge of the water. And it was so fresh that the water hadn't come inside the footprint. I don't know if any of you have ever done any tracking, but if you've done tracking, you know what I mean. If it's a fresh print, then the water hasn't had a time to coagulate in the print. So it was a fresh print. It couldn't have been more than 15, 20 minutes old. So we were all real quiet. And we were in what is known as double canopy jungle. You have jungle that's either single canopy, which means that there's just trees above you. Double canopy means there's trees above you, and then above those trees, there's more trees. And triple canopy means that there's trees and trees and trees. Triple canopy means that in the daytime it's dark. because there just there's not a whole lot of sunlight that comes through all those leaves. Anyway, so we're in double canopy, and it's kind of quiet, and we see some Vietnamese around, two or three of them around a little campfire. I guess they were cooking breakfast or something, and we just all of us stopped and we got ready. We all got down. We were ready just to shoot, them all up. And the lieutenant said, "Nope," and he pulled us all back. He wanted to call in artillery. Hey, I don't even want to go into that, how dumb lieutenants are sometimes, but that's another story altogether. So we pull back, and he calls the base camp, and they can't hear him because we're in double canopy. There's no signals going through these trees. So he starts talking louder and louder and louder. And then he says, "Now we can go back in." I don't know if any of you have been hunting in the woods, but you don't want to be loud in the woods. Because sound, does sound travel or not? Well, they were waiting for us. So the lieutenant got shot. The point man got shot. Three or four other guys got shot. Why would I tell you that? I'll tell you that because sometimes, brothers and sisters in Christ, it doesn't matter how much you yell at God, He's not going to hear you. Why? Because there's something preventing Him from hearing you. And it might be your selfishness. It might be you not being thankful. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 2. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." We are so unthankful. Who did that? Well, it was me. No, it wasn't you. It was God. But we tend to forget that real easy, right? "Well, no one pays attention to me." Well, praise God. I mean, nothing personal, right? But maybe they don't need to pay attention to you. "Well, nobody ever pats me on the back." So, do it anyway. Right? What's it say, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. "Are you a thankless Christian? When was the last time all you did when you went to prayer is you just started thanking God for all He's done for you? You had to stop after 20 minutes because you just knew you could go all day, right? Has God been good to you?
Yes, sir.
Has He been good to you? Well, you don't seem very thankful about it. Have you ever noticed nowadays no one wants to say thank you? They just expect it, right? Well, thanks. Oh, you don't have to thank me. Listen now, please, listen. If someone says thank you, don't ever say, "You don't have to thank me." Don't ever say that. Be glad that they thanked you. Even if you don't deserve it, be glad that they thanked you. Because they didn't have to say it. And if you keep telling them they don't have to say it, pretty soon, they're not going to say it. And then what are you going to do? You're going to be mad because they didn't thank you. That's how we are. Isn't that how we are? Someone gives you a compliment, you need to take it. "Gee, that's a nice outfit you're wearing." "Oh, this old thing?" "No, I was talking about hers." "What?" Anyway, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, "In everything give thanks." Is that what it says? "For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." How many things are you supposed to give thanks for? Everything, right? Think about this now. This just, I don't know if this has happened or not, but this just might happen sometime. You get up in the morning and you are almost late for work. Not quite late, but almost. And you know right now if you get your keys and you get in the car, you can make it. But you can't find your keys. And so pretty soon everybody in the house knows you can't find your keys. And it's their fault. Right? So you finally find your keys, and you get in the car and you start speeding towards your job. But you get behind someone who's going slow, or you catch every light red. So you murmur and you complain and you mumble and you grumble all the way to work. And when you get to glory, here's what the Lord's going to show you. That particular day, there was someone that was driving a gasoline truck full of diesel fuel. And they missed a stop sign and just went right out into the middle of a road. And if you'd have found your keys when you were supposed to, and been on that road when you were supposed to, you'd have got blindsided right on the side. Or you wouldn't have died. You just got burnt up to about 50% of your body and had to spend the next 2 years in the Houston Burn Center. And for the first 2 months, every other day, they would come in and peel off your skin and couldn't give you any medication. But the Lord said, nah, we'll just hide the keys. Is that possible? I don't know, is it? How many times has the Lord stopped you from doing something and it turned out into be a blessing?
Amen.
Too many times to count, right? Then why are we so thankless? In everything give thanks. That's what the Bible just said. All right, let's look at this next one. Mark 11, Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Look at verse 26. Mark 11, verse 26. The Bible says, but if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive you your trespasses. Well, one of the problems that we have, and I'm as guilty as anybody in this room, is I'm just unforgiving. Right? Cheat me once, shame on you. Right? Cheat me twice, shame on me. I think that's how the expression goes. Isn't that how the expression goes? Hey, how about this one? Hey, I don't get mad. I get even. That's what the Lord said to you, right? When it was the third or fourth time you've been to the altar for the same thing, and you've absolutely promised Him that you'd never do that again. Right? Here's what Peter said one day. He thought he'd be real spiritual, and he was walking with the Lord. And he said, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother? Seven? What did the Lord tell him?
Seven times.
Seven times 70, right? So you got a lot of forgiving to do, don't you? Are we unforgiving? Matthew chapter 11, verse 20. Mark 11, verse 25. Mark 11, verse 25, and when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Maybe that's where we ought to spend some time. Lord, help me. There's been some people I haven't forgiven. I want to forgive them. Even if what they did was wrong, and they knew they were doing wrong, and they did it anyway, I want to forgive them, Lord, because after all, that's what you've done for me. Listen, don't be selfish when it comes to praying. Don't be thankless when it comes to praying. Don't be unforgiving when it comes. We've just looked in the verses, verse after verse tells us to do it this way, it's wrong. Do it this way, it's right. You want God to hear your prayers? Do you want God to hear your prayers? Well, according to the scriptures, you can't be selfish. You can't be thankless. You can't be unforgiving. What's the next one here? Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Here's what I used to do. Lord, get them. You've never done that, have you? You know what the Lord showed me? He showed me this verse. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. So, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I'll take it up with the Lord when I see Him. But here's what I pray now. If someone's not doing what I think they should be doing, and they're doing something wrong against me or my... Here's what I say. I don't say, Lord, get them. I say, Lord, be so good to them. Lord, just bless them in a mighty way. Because if my Bible's true, it says, the goodness of God leadeth, right? Now, I could add to my prayer and say, Lord, be so good to them, they'll stop. But I don't do that. Because I think the Lord already knows my heart, so... But I don't want the Lord to get them. How many of you want the Lord to get you? You don't, do you? Why would you pray for Him to get someone else then? Well, have each and every one of you done at least one thing wrong to someone else? Whether it was accidental or on purpose, right? We've done that, haven't we? Maybe we ought to thank God He didn't drop us in our tracks that day. Because He has every right to do that. How many of you know what the wages of sin is? Has it ever changed? Then why are we still alive? Anybody sin today? Anybody? Well, you're still breathing, right? Thank God, right? Lord, look what it says, Luke 18, verse 11. Luke 18, verse 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus from himself, God, I thank Thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Pride. God don't want you to be proud. God don't want you to brag on you. He already knows about you. You don't have to tell Him how good you are. You don't have to remind Him that you're not like someone else. He knows. What should we do? Well, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. This was hard for me to get. I'm still working on it, so you can pray for me about it. Because, you know what, sometimes I think I know more than other people know. And it wouldn't matter if I did. Because I've learned, if I have learned anything in my life, I've learned this. If I keep paying attention, I can learn every day. I can learn from the most idiotic person in this world if I just take time to listen. I know one thing for sure. There's somebody in this world that's smarter than me. I know it's a shock. But there is. I do know this. There's at least one person that's dumber. So I'm kind of like in the middle, right? That's kind of like all of us, isn't it? I just know so much. Well, tell me all you know. I got a minute. Well, you'll get that later. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter 5, look at verse number 5. The Bible says, well, I'm in 2 Peter. What am I? Oh, there it is. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. And be clothed with humility. Now watch this. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Don't be a proud prayer. Be a humble prayer. Don't be an unforgiving prayer. Be a forgiving prayer. Don't be thankful or thankless. Be thankful. And listen. I mean, it's okay to pray for you. But why don't you make most of your prayers for someone else? Last but not least, no clapping, please. Well, we're not last, but we're getting close. Psalm 66. Don't you just like that? They say, in conclusion, go on for another 20 minutes. Psalm 66. In conclusion. Psalm 66. Well, between now and 9 o'clock. Psalm 66, verse number 18. Psalm 66, verse number 18, here's what it says. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Doesn't get any plainer than that, does it? What are you talking about? I'm talking about unconfessed sin. How many of you realize that... 1 John chapter 1 says, If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all. Is that true? Okay. Did you sin at least once today? How many of you sinned at least once today? Don't raise your hand, because God knows who you are. We don't all need to know. All right, if you sinned at least once, have you already asked Him to forgive you, or are you waiting until tonight?
Good. That's it. Right there. Park right there.
Well, what if you sinned twice? And you forgot. How about three times? You know, maybe sometimes why our prayers aren't getting a direct line to God is because we have sins that we don't even really consider real bad sins anymore. What's the difference between a good sin and a bad sin? Anybody know a difference? What's the difference? There's no difference? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Right? How many times do we have to do that? As many as we want, right? Here's how it would work, and I can guarantee this is how it would work. If you could get a mindset that every time you sinned, you stopped and you said, God, please forgive me and help me not to do it again, you'd sin less.
How about it? Right?
Sure. So what's the problem with some of our prayer? Our sins haven't been confessed. We have unconfessed sins. All right, Proverbs 15. I'm giving you problems and I'm giving you also solutions each time. Praise God. Proverbs 15, verse 29. Here's what it says. The Lord is far from the wicked, but He heareth the prayer of the righteous. Well, Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to think about it that way. I didn't mean to see it that way. I didn't mean to feel it that way. I didn't mean to do that. I didn't mean to say that. Lord, help me to be different. Wouldn't it be neat if we could have the Lord just walk around with us all day long? And every time we did something wrong, He'd go, hey. Brothers and sisters in Christ, guess what? He's around all day long. And if you're paying attention, this is what you'll hear. Hey. We've got used to it, haven't we? What sin is it? I don't know. Pick one. I'm not going to pick on anybody. I'm going to just tell something that I've noticed. And I've noticed in my life, and I want to stop it. But I've also noticed in other people's lives. Well, you know what my wife always does? Well, you know what my husband always does? And most of the time when those words are said, it's not anything positive. I can just guarantee you right now that the Lord's not pleased with that. And that might be one of the problems that we're having. I should remember this because it was kind of instilled in me from my parents. And my parents were definitely not saved by any stretch of the imagination. But even though they weren't, they had some morals about them. And my dad used to tell me all the time, hey, if you don't have anything good to say about anybody, you just don't say anything. Well, right? Now, is there someone that you just do not like? Please don't point. There's got to be someone that you just do not like. Well, here's a solution to that problem. Think about some good that they have in them. Because they do. It might take a long time to find it, but look for it. Right? Please, please, brothers and sisters in Christ, let's don't have unconfessed sin. You know we're supposed to do right, don't you? Every one of us know we're supposed to do right. We need to do right. Last but not least, didn't I say that once before? I mean it this time. Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28. One of the last things that will hinder your prayer as far as this message goes, okay? Now, listen, I didn't cover them all. I just covered up to keep us busy. What do we find out? Well, selfishness will stop your prayers, right? Right? Being unthankful or thankless will stop your prayers. What else? Unforgiving, that'll stop your prayers. Pride, that'll stop your prayers. Unconfessed sin, that'll stop your prayers. This last one, Proverbs 28, verse 9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. Disobedience will definitely keep your prayers from going up. You know, we've had this particular revival. We've had verse after verse after verse after verse that have pretty much told us, kind of like an outline of how we're supposed to behave. Now, you're either going to be obedient or disobedient. The choice is yours. God wants you to be obedient, doesn't He?
Yes,
all right, look at 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 12. Here's what it says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." Right? So here's what I've done tonight. I've done a little anacrostic. There's got to be a magic marker around here somewhere, someplace, somehow. When anybody make any sudden moves. Here's what we've learned. If you're selfish, you won't be someone that prays with conviction. Right? Here's what happens. If you're thankless, they might not go up. If you have unforgiveness or pride, and what's the other one? Unconfessed sin, and just for you people who like to spell right, iniquity, or disobedience. So, that's what happens if you're not praying right. If you don't pray right, you know what you are? You're stupid. It's nothing to do with your intelligence. It has to do with your prayer life. That's how bad I am. I can't even spell stupid right. Hey, here's the admonition tonight. Don't be stupid. Simple enough, right? Now, you got to write that down somewhere in your Bible. And ask the Lord every so often, "Lord, am I being stupid?" Well, I don't know. How's your prayer life? Do you know of someone that you would call before anybody else because you want them to pray for you because you know their prayers get answered? You know anybody like that? I know a couple of people like that. I'd be glad to ask them to pray for me. It just seems like they got God's number. You know what they aren't? They aren't stupid. They're not selfish. They're not thankless. They're not unforgiving. They don't have pride. Their sin isn't unconfessed. They're not disobedient. How about you, Christian? Maybe this is why the Lord had this to be done at this time, since this is a prayer meeting. And here's what it says, and you all know this, you've probably got to memorize, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear their words." Heal their land. We need God to hear us. We're in trouble, brothers and sisters of Christ, not only just as Christians, but as a nation. We need to do some praying. You're called a Christian. Aren't you called a Christian? Well, have you humbled yourselves? Lord, I don't want to be a stupid Christian. I want to be a Christian that prays, a Christian that gets his prayers answered by you. Heads bowed, eyes closed.